Welcome to the 5 a.m. Master Scrum Thursday night edition, where we're interviewing people from various areas around the world and different topic areas that kind of will be helpful in the long run in our Scrum and Agile customer base and business people around the world. And tonight we have Angeline Constantinou.
That's it.
And she's all about empowering women to step up on their own power, identify their true purpose of life and calling in life. I think this is timely because as I'm teaching a bunch of young students and coach women in business world, and we're just closing out, when this comes out, it'll be the closing out of Women's History Month. So this is perfect. And I wanted to important note that women used to run software. They're not as low as they used to run off. You watch the NASA stuff, they ran it all. And then they decided to go do other things. So I want to encourage more women by sharing more women's thoughts. And she's also a member of the Change Book, Volume 20, that I'm in. And her section is called, Who is Angeline? Right? So it'll be interesting. And then this interview is not your classic interview about Agile business so much. But let's get to know Angeline and let her share some of with the people and everyone around the world some of our topics. And Angeline, as a woman's empowerment partner, right? Please tell us a little about yourself, what you're doing, your personal journey, how that went, and something that's not in your profile, if you might.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. Okay. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome. And Greg, thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast show. And so who is Angeline? So Angeline was born and raised in Minnesota. I came from a Greek family. I worked in my father's business. But I had a greater vision. I didn't want to stay, and I went to college and everything, did that whole thing. But I decided that I wanted a different life. I had a vision and a dream of living in New York and moving and living in New York City. So I, at the age of 21, I decided to pack two suitcases. I left in a blizzard and I was stranded at the airport in Minneapolis, St. Paul for 24 hours. Yeah. My parents thought I was crazy, but that's, that was the rebel in me, I guess.
Yeah.
A reawakening. So I moved to New York because I wanted to make a name for myself. And I wanted to, at that time I was going to college. So I wanted to, finish my studies. My uncle made an offer that I could not refuse. That I basically, he said, you can work in the diner business while you're going to college. I said, fine. So I did that. And then during that time, I met through a Greek, I went to a Greek Orthodox church in Long Island, New York. So I lived on Long Island for, it was a couple of years.
Okay.
And I met who I thought was going to be the love of my life. He was a high powered businessman in sales. He was making six figure income and I was 25 at the time and he was in his 40s. So there was an age gap right there. But for some reason I was attracted to him and I lived actually on a Carver. So a fun fact about me is that I used to live on a 38 foot Carver Mariner yacht.
Wow. Okay.
And I moved and I stayed for a couple of years. So we lived on the boat, and we decided that we wanted to move out of New York City. And we were making six figure income. And I was the one who brought in the money for the business. And I also trained interns. So I was also very very influential in doing that, working with college students. But we decided that we wanted to move to upstate New York, not where I'm living now, but in Rhinebeck, New York, because when 9/11 happened, we were both in the city at the time, but
Okay.
we were in different locations. And business fell 80% that year. The World Trade Center, when the World Trade Center collapsed, that's when things started to fall apart. And we moved to upstate New York in 1987, but then the World Trade Center collapsed on 9/11/2001. So things started to crumble. And he exhibited jealousy, resentment, anger, because I did not want to work in the business anymore. And I wanted to make a name for myself and reclaim my identity because he was being abusive. He started to show signs of narcissistic abuse, gaslighting. He physically abused me. He threw me against the wall and I fell backwards and I landed on the carpet, thank goodness, and I was taken to the emergency room and I was hooked up on IV all night. That's the part I haven't shared in the book, but not in that graphic detail, but I was, I thought that I was going to die. And I remember listening to Les Brown.
Ha, Les Brown.
Les Brown, okay. And I remember what Les Brown said because I would watch his motivational videos. I was always into personal development and empowerment. And I did not want to be out there in the sales field, with the daily grind every single day, being out on the road, knocking on doors. So I was in the emergency room all night and I was afraid, I was ashamed to tell the authorities that he, struck me.
Right.
He struck me because I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed. And me coming from a Greek family, that was like unheard of, And I was, afraid to share my story at that time. That was in 2000. But things changed.
Right.
Things started to get worse. I went out to work in corporate America in 2000. It was in 2006 to make a name for myself and to be interacting with other colleagues, meeting other people. And he grew more resentful. So then he really showed his true colors. And there was a lot of verbal abuse that was heaped on me. He started to, there was financial abuse. He drained my bank account. And I found myself $50,000 in the hole,
Oh.
$50,000 in debt. And I decided to file for divorce. So I woke up one morning with an epiphany, and I call this my epiphany and my awakening. And that was, I said, what good is the money if you're miserable? I had lost my corporate job. I was still living with him, but I moved all my belongings upstairs.
Right.
So I had my own room. But that was, that I had to get a limited protective order, and I actually had to go to family court and file that. And then I traveled to Long Island to spend 2 weeks with my cousins.
Okay.
So and with my family members who was they were supportive and they supported me throughout this whole ordeal that I was going through. And I deserve better. I reached the conclusion that I deserve better. So when I returned back to the house, I decided to hire a high power attorney out of Poughkeepsie, New York, and I wrote out actually a balance transfer check. I wrote out a check against my own credit to start the divorce proceedings, and that was $5,000. And at that time, he drained my bank account. I remember one time I was driving to the bank because I thought I had money in there. And because the account was in both names, he decided to drain it. And I remember the branch manager at the time, she couldn't do anything about it. She said he actually had a legal right to do that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
So
when he was on the
where does
account.
that leave me? Yeah, fine, I'm fine, but where does that leave me? I mean, here I'm sitting in the car, I'm crying, and then here I'm, you know, using my credit card, and I'm, you know, I'm close to maxing out my credit cards, but I had friends who stepped in to help me. I was basically living like a gypsy for 1 year, sleeping in people's houses, you know, sometimes motel rooms they would pay for. And that's the time when I was on a journey of self-discovery. And when you reach the bottom of the pit, the only way you can go is up.
Right, right.
Yeah. The only way that you can go is up. So throughout this whole process, I became involved in the online space on Facebook at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook. I put myself out there. I was actually, I partnered with a health and wellness company that I was very passionate about. And I joined, like, literally during this whole storm, during this whole chaos. And that, I think that I know changed my life. And I found that inner strength and resilience in myself that I could go out there and I could work on my own. Go ahead.
And then that take you into that wellness space to build your own business model and everything like that. How did that go? How did you go from where you were? And it was a great story talking about you went through all that ordeal and everything's just rock bottom, and then working your way from that point up until you created your wellness business model.
Well, I decided to stop playing the victim. And I declared victory in my life. I said, I'm going to claim victory. I'm going to make a plan. And I let the authorities know what my plan was going to be. I had support from the New York State Police and the local sheriff's office where I lived at the time. So I made a plan, and my goals were to move to Saratoga Springs, New York, where I live now. And I lived in a different apartment at that time. It was a small one bedroom. I found a place to live, and I found a way to make money online while changing people's lives, by changing people's lives through this health and wellness program. And I worked behind the scenes, and I was receiving alimony, and working behind the scenes at the same time. So fast forward to May of 2011, the divorce became final. I secured my apartment, and then I moved into ownership. Okay. And I had to do a lot of mindset work. I had to do, you know, besides helping people with their health and fitness, there was a lot of mindset work I had to do, a lot of removing of those self-limiting beliefs that were holding me back for so long, because that comes from being ashamed. So I went from being ashamed, lost, and overwhelmed to claiming victory. And I said, I'm going to surrender my pride and ego, draw a line in the sand, and claim victory. And that's exactly what I did. And that was the turning point. As soon as I did that, that was the turning point. And I had mentors and coaches who supported me, and they also helped and, you know, pushed me to the next level.
Okay.
So I stayed with that company for 6 years, and I left, and I went through another rediscovery, because in entrepreneurship, we go like this. It's peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
We go through peaks, and we have to, you know, expect that. So I went through some rediscovery, and right before COVID hit in January of 2020, I decided to start my podcast.
Okay.
And my podcast is Let's Break the Silence with Angeline. So I work with women. I help women find their voice. I help women amplify their voice, and so they can move into ownership and reclaim their power. And my podcast, this came actually when COVID hit, And I was not working full time because I was working full time for an ad agency. And I was laid off. I left because, everything shut down. So that moved me. I had like a spiritual awakening and my podcast, and I decided to put together a coaching program for domestic violence survivors. And, it's a process when you go through, when even a man too, when a woman or a man goes through some sort of traumatic event, even if they transition, when they transitioned out of domestic violence, there's still a lot of scars there, a lot of healing that takes place. So I learned to love myself again. Because when you love on yourself, you can love others. And when you move into that place of self-love, then you start to attract the right people in your life. If you the worst thing that you can do, especially for women, is to go into another relationship. You have to be completely healed from the trauma. And
I it's funny you say that. I tell that to people I know who get divorced, like all they want to go right back into dating. I'm like, stop.
they want to go on to dating sites. I'm like, no,
No, just take it
I didn't even
easy,
do
find
that.
yourself, and I've done that too. You go in and out of relationships, and you have to figure out what you want yourself. What do you really want, and why? Where do you want to go? And yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that one.
Thank you.
And I appreciate all the work you did too. But and now I'm gonna kind of move into another area. It's kind of similar because in the past I've encountered and even challenged people that I work with in business, especially in engineering world, where men would belittle women in the workforce. They're like, oh, women don't need to be in the workforce. I mean, it still exists. If anybody does, it tells me it doesn't exist, it's still there. It's just in separate different ways. I mean, I even knew a professor in college that didn't think women should be engineers at all. I mean, but we only had like four women in our class out of 60 people. So it was kind of really low numbers in engineering at the time, and this back in the 90s. Do you have any recommendation on how might women handle being put down, experiencing that feeling that, they're not valued as highly in the business world or on a team? Maybe you have some healing techniques that you can offer to, because it's kind of like similar. It's like an abuse. Maybe it's
I
not
like
physical
that.
per se, but it's mental. And is there any healing techniques they can use? Besides, I would say at some point in time, you have to realize whether or not you still want to work for that organization or put your resume on the street and decide you just need to, this is not where I want to work if that's the culture. I mean, I don't want to encourage anybody bear it out if the culture is just horrible. But, any healing thoughts?
You hit on something, and now you just jarred my memory.
Okay.
So I used to work in the solar industry. Don't ask me how I got into the solar industry because most of my life has been direct sales and advertising. And I remember when I was in training in the solar industry, the majority were men, and there were only three women. I think there was three of us. So what I suggest and recommend is, when someone feels put down, take action. If the company has something in place, because that's discrimination. It's discrimination. I would definitely,
But just like in your case, women, nobody, no matter who it is, guy or girl, don't want to bring attention to themselves sometimes in the workplace. You know
They
what I
don't.
mean?
Okay,
You
and
know what
that's
I
a good
mean?
point.
And that's where they hide it. And they don't, we can go right into you. Break, what is it? Let's
Yeah, they need to
break
bring
the
a space.
silence, right?
Well, if they want to, like we, as far as I'm concerned, women, we are change makers and way makers. So we can change. It's time to change the narrative in the workplace.
Oh yeah,
Time change the narrative, and instead of feeling ashamed, Okay, because I felt ashamed because I worked for, I was married and worked, in my ex-husband's business, but, working for Solar City, I was actually treated with respect. I was very competitive and I've always been that competitive person. But the fact is that women make less money than men do. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
That's the fact. Use your voice.
So I just want to come back on that. I love the fact that you're saying use your voice, stand up for yourself.
Right.
Is there, and I always think of it as a two-step part when I was talking to somebody else earlier about emotion, figure out where you are emotionally and figure it is. So how you might say, yeah, I just got hit, someone just low shot me or whatever, put me down. Do you have any healing techniques to first get yourself in a good spot
Yes,
before you go? Because one of the things you like is, I always, it's like, get your emotions and then go. You know what I
right.
mean?
Control your emotions. It's
So
important.
are there any techniques you have that you can share with women when they do inhale?
Meditation. I do deep breathing. So what I do is I take a deep breath, inhale for four, and then exhale. You're exhaling all that negativity. So if there's a man who's putting you down, take a step back, don't retaliate. Take some deep breaths. So I practiced breathing techniques and meditation. I did mindfulness meditation.
Okay.
And that really helped me get through rough times. And the corporate world is no pick, there's no it's not a glamorous place to be sometimes. In the corporate world, depending on what company who you work for. But I remember being in a situation, and I was still married because I worked in direct sales, and this is when I went out to work in corporate America. I worked for a publication company, and I was not treated very well. And I actually got demoted. And I was not allowed to go out on the road and work on big accounts anymore. So that really put me, so talk about being put down. I took a step back, I reflected, I did some deep rooted meditations, mindfulness, and I decided to sue the company.
There you go.
So I sued them
Yeah.
for harassment and discrimination, and I won.
Okay.
Yeah, I took legal steps. So, I took the legal way in, and that require, that it that is it all starts with making a decision. So you have to be decisive and say, I'm not going to tolerate this,
Right.
and I am going to stand up for myself.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. I stood up for myself.
I think you nailed it. It's like, you got hit, take it, mellow out, do your breathing, do your meditation. I actually do meditation too. Sometimes, no matter who you are, you can get stressed out. Sometimes it's
Oh,
good to
sure. You
practice
can get stressed
meditation.
out in your own business.
I mean, people think about it as like, oh, I'm gonna do meditation. It does help you if you're really getting excited or something emotional, or you're having a
Right.
rough time. Sometimes that just gets you back in the focus and helps you clear your mind what next steps you want to take. And like you said, your next step was I decided I wasn't going to take it anymore, and I sued them, right? And
Right.
whatever your case is, I mean, yeah, if they demote you and don't let you do something and do all that kind of stuff, there's lots of reasons on that one that you have good grounds
Right.
for. Sometimes it's not as clear as that, right? You don't get that clear of a signal or whatever, and it's more
Right.
subtle. But definitely, so I appreciate the idea of helping healing by doing the meditation, the deep breathing. If you feel like you experienced that, because
Right.
you don't want it to continue throughout the rest of the day, because you want to be where you are. You want, anytime we're in a situation, being calm and cool and collective is always a good thing.
I actually helped a client of mine, a
Yes.
young girl
Okay.
who worked full time for a company, and she was experiencing that. So
Okay.
I told her, I said, remember what we talked about last night? Do the deep breathing. Go into another room if you can, or just go outside and go for a walk.
Yeah, walks are great. Yes.
Walk and calm down and just calm down. Calm down. Do, you know, take a deep breath, take a few deep breaths. So she addressed the situation in a professional way, because she messaged me on Facebook. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is what we got to do. Yeah. Here's the plan.
Well, you know, and I think, let me see if I can re-say some of what you said. To calm down or relax and think about the positive route. And I think it's also key is not to dwell on the negative. Like, oh my God, this is terrible. You know, you can go down that hole and become negative and this and that. But then the positive, okay, what's my avenue out? What is my next avenue for success? Right. What is the positive mentality that you can take on in the future versus I can see someone take a walk and just thinking about and recycling the scenario that just happened to themselves, and that's not getting them to the point of being able to go forward sometimes.
Right. And my client at the time, mm-hmm. She went through domestic violence and trauma.
Okay.
So she was triggered. So her boss said something that triggered her. So there's a possibility of a trigger. So when a trigger happens, walk away. Don't feed into it. If there's someone who's upsetting you, like your boss or, you know, significant other, if you work with, you know, if you work with, like I did,
mm-hmm.
but if you're working with a boss, whether it's male or female, it doesn't matter in that case, okay. because, you know, we're at work, take a step back. So she was triggered.
Okay.
Yeah, she was triggered. So that's where all this comes in to play. Meditation, breathing techniques, understanding your feelings, and not reacting from a high emotional state. Because when you're in that high emotional state, you're going to say something that you're going to regret later.
And I'm glad you said the word, because I just did an interview with Annie.
Oh, good.
And we were talking about triggering and be able to notice from an emotional state that you have been just triggered. And to recognize that and to take that into account. Oh, I just got triggered. And I was actually listening to a Mel Robbins interview. This morning.
I listen to Mel Robbins all the time.
And she was talking about triggering and being triggered. And she would just love herself because she knew she got triggered. And it's funny, she's an outgoing woman. But she was saying on this podcast, and this was, Great Entrepreneurs or something like that with Howes. And she said that she would go into a meeting people, a meetup, and she would get triggered. And she would pick up that she was getting triggered, and she would notice, just calling to, oh, that's interesting. You just got triggered because you're about to meet some people and have to share some information. And she would actually talk herself. Oh, well, that's, oh, wow. I just triggered myself. And she learned to recognize and actually talk herself out of the trigger.
Right. Exactly.
It was kind of interesting, her conversation.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting podcast listening to her discuss that, and I never thought I would hear her talk about her being triggered, and she has a lot of anxiety issues. She's like, she's full anxiety, she says. So I don't know if she says it on a normal podcast, but she said it on Hal's podcast. With that thought, so please share some thoughts. And you talk about mentorship with women, right?
Right.
Any thoughts on mentorship to women? What to look for in a mentor? Maybe how you might find a mentor, whether it be in a company or external company. You know, both are good. I believe in having a little bit of both. Could you share some of your story and maybe some of your recommendations for women?
Yes, I would work with a mentor who is heart-centered. Who is a heart-centered leader? Someone who is coming from a place of authenticity. And that's where I love to mentor women and help women. And mine comes from a place of my heart. I speak from the heart. And my coaching program is all about that. Is all about that. So you want to look for a mentor who you can relate to. Also, a mentor who has gone through some sort of traumatic event. So whether it's narcissistic abuse, domestic violence, domestic abuse, because you're already working with, and I actually worked with a woman coach who went through domestic violence. So that's what I look for. Someone who has gone through something similar.
How do you go about finding someone like that?
Well,
How did you do it? How did you find those people to mentor you and your
on social media,
on social media?
on Facebook.
Okay. So
Yeah,
you
on
just do a
Facebook.
search or something, or?
No, we just making connections. I was, making real, genuine connections.
Okay.
And I remember last year I was featured on, it's called the Get Out of Your Own Damn Way movement. So there was a virtual speaking event, and I was part of that. I spoke about my, rising up from the ashes and how I went from a breakdown to a breakthrough because I literally almost had a nervous breakdown during my whole ordeal. So I rose up from the ashes, and that is how I claim victory. So claiming victory from the chaos.
Okay.
From the chaos. So if a woman has gone through something similar that I did, that's what I look for. And I look for a mentor who is heart-centered, who is leading from the heart and not all about the money, if
Okay.
that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I told
Because
it like.
there are some gurus out there who just want the money. So you just have to be very careful, but you also want a mentor who's going to push you to the next level. And I worked with a millionaire mentor, and this was 4 years ago, and he helped me essentially rediscover myself. I discovered my special sauce, he called it, and that was my podcast.
Right.
So I discovered who I truly am.
So how'd you meet this million-dollar mentor?
On Facebook,
On Facebook?
through another colleague.
Okay. Did
Yeah,
you
and
say
he
you were
had a,
looking for a mentor or something? How did they?
I didn't even put it out there on Facebook. I
Yeah.
worked behind the scenes, and I was just looking online,
Okay.
for a mentor who he helped me break through my self-limiting beliefs. And then I remember shortly after that, I flew to South Africa for an event. I
Okay.
was invited to a gala event. So he helped me push through those self-limiting beliefs. So instead of always saying, I cannot do this, I can do this, I will do this. I practice a lot of self-love affirmations in the mornings. I meditate. I don't look at my phone in the morning, but he helped me break through. I actually, he helped me break through those walls
Yeah.
of self-limiting beliefs that were holding me back. And I still work on myself, to this day. And he helped me discover my true passion.
Okay.
I mean, I did the work, but I
Right.
had to do the deep-rooted work.
Okay. Okay.
I had to work through, I had to do the deep-rooted work.
Yes, we
And that is something, if you want to 10X your life and you want to move into ownership, I teach women how to release those past wounds that have been holding them back, that have been leaving them feeling lost, overwhelmed, depressed. Because I know that feeling all too well, anxiety,
Right.
anxiousness.
Well, that's.
So I give them the tools and resources to help them move into ownership. So that's what I look for in a mentor.
Okay.
So hopefully that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. Kind of how I mentor people too.
Right.
I always tell the story how I had junior engineers, and I would have them go to a conference with me, And I go, okay, great. Guess what? Next year you have to present. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah.
See?
I'm not letting you just hang around here. I mean, I want you to see what it's like and I present. And actually, I coach all my coaches that way. Because I do my show and I have them present and I have them lead things on my show just to get break that ice. Like, oh, I can't do that. Well, you're going to do it on my show.
Of course you're going to do it. Of course you're going to do it. I presented.
Yeah.
I actually presented, you ready for this, last year in December. This is why, one of the reasons I'm part of the Change
Book. There you go, Change Book. There you go, your picture. Sweet.
So the publisher, so Jim Lutz, invited me to speak at a deep dive mastermind event.
Okay.
His own event in December.
Okay.
Because he felt that I would be a great addition. So I didn't even say I can't.
Right.
I said, I'm going to do it.
There you go. That's what you got to say.
I'm going to dive into deep water. Like, you know, talk about deep dive. I said, this is a perfect.
You ready or not, you're diving in, right?
And I dived in and I spoke. I was a little nervous at first. But you know what? I proved to myself that I could speak in front of 75 people.
Yeah, and I will guarantee you, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, you'll always get nervous before you go speak in front of people. It's just the way it is. So you'll get through it. So, is there anything you want to share about your business or something about your business you might want to share with everyone? They want to get with you, get connected to you, or. Or absolutely. Things you got going in the hot on the deck for the next adventure?
Yes, I have some stuff that is going on in the pipeline. So right now, I have a 90-day program, coaching program for it, also divorced women. So I have it. It's for divorced women and domestic violence survivors to help them release those past wounds and those self and shedding those self-limiting beliefs that have been holding them back for too long. And it's a one-to-one coaching program where I take a customized approach.
Okay.
And we work on journaling, meditation, mindset, mastering your mindset, getting out of that victim state. That's the first thing. And moving into ownership, unlocking those barriers, and shifting those self-limiting beliefs so that they can live the life they truly deserve to live and reclaim their life and regain their power.
That's so awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Because we all know people that probably could use that. They're going through a divorce.
There's a lot of people who could use that. Yes, definitely. Yeah. So it's on my website at letsbreakthesilence.com. Mm-hmm. And for women who want to be a special guest on my podcast show, I can be found. It's Let's Break the Silence with Angeline on Spotify, Apple, and my YouTube channel. So everything is on my website. So people can contact me at letsbreakthesilence.com. And they can also email me at angeline@letsbreakthesilence.com. So in fact, I got an offer to write a column.
Oh, wow. Nice.
About personal empowerment from a magazine out of the United Kingdom.
Okay.
For the spring edition. So I actually have to work on. So I am going to be a contributing featured author.
Nice.
In their magazine. Yeah.
Congratulations. Their magazine,
so a contributing writer. And I love to write.
Okay.
That's one of my passions. I love to write. So I am going to be talking about personal empowerment and healing after domestic violence because they found me. Guess how they found me?
How'd they find you? Through the book? Oh, yep. Wow. There you go. So.
And I've been invited to other podcast shows too. So one of them is I interviewed a lawyer last week on my podcast who brought awareness about legislatures who are basically doing nothing to protect domestic violence survivors. And I'm an advocate for domestic violence survivors.
Right.
So he brought light to the fact that these criminals who are in jail are just being let out of prison way too early.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So I've been invited to be on their show through their publicist. So that's going to be in 2 weeks, called The Bill It's called the Bail Podcast, and it's one of the top 10 podcasts in the country in terms of criminal justice. So
good.
They invited me to speak and share my story and how we can help domestic violence survivors because they have rights.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The whole thing. I want to put all your link, your site and your email and your LinkedIn on the show. Okay. So there should be in the notes in the show. I'll embed it. I don't care if LinkedIn, I'm not going to share it because it's not LinkedIn.
No. LinkedIn. Yeah. I share.
I know, but sometimes they're all getting touchy on linking to other things and outside their little domain. But don't worry about it. I'm going to share it anyhow. So we're going to go it so that we can do it. If not, I'll put it in the comments below this video, the podcast you're hit. That way people can, at least if they go to the comments below, they'll find your connection information and find your website and stuff like that. So I'll do it either way to make it happen. And I want to appreciate you coming on board and doing this talk because I think it was great having people talk, talk about issues, the stressfulness sometimes. You feel like you're being abused or put down or put into a corner. You know, it's always good to hear from other people that have experienced that, maybe in different formats and things like that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you worked in an environment that was okay, no problem. You had a domestic issue, and you worked in a corporate environment that was a problem, and you ended up, taking things in your own hands and suing them and winning. So there is good and bad in the world, and we have to be truthful. It's not all good. I hope it would be more better than bad, but nice to have someone. And I encourage anybody that are my audience to reach out, and maybe we'll even do a thing where you put something on my blog or something like that.
Absolutely.
That would be great. So appreciate that. Anything else you want to add as we close out the interview?
Yes. What I want to add is never give up. Never give up on yourself. So my special message is that there is hope out there. And people are looking for hope. They're looking for transformation. So never give up on yourself. So if you are in a situation where you need help and resources, definitely explore those resources. But I know that there are a lot of women out there who may feel stuck because they're in a situation, they have a child, but guess what? There are resources out there. There's hope out there. And there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
There's light at the end of the tunnel after domestic violence. And look what I did.
There you go.
And I found my true identity and purpose in life. And I'm very proud of where I am and where I'm going. I'm not where I want to be, but guess what? I'm not where I used to be.
There you go. And we're always on a journey to where we want to be, right? You're always on that path and see that positive outcome in the future. So again, I want to thank you. Thank you, Angeline, for coming on board. And thanks again.
You're welcome, Greg. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And I wish all of you an amazing day and great week and happy Women's History Month. We're here to make history. So.
Well, you are making history. You're making history now into the future, right?
We are change agents. We are change makers and way makers.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're here to change the world. So let's do it.